Today we have decided, we had decided, because of so many requests from others, that the actress will speak out, but give us a synopsis of her experience there at the Sahavars. That was that she was present at that time. And I hope she has not lost her voice and her mood. By the way, where is the little one today? Because having her by your side gives you that mood, you know. If she's not there, then that's something. But still, a first-hand report, you see, of somebody who has been there, we'd love to enjoy it.
Maybe it also includes some Kittyisms. Kitty was there.
She gave two talks. And what they do is start the first day's program with a guest panel, so that Phyllis and Bal and Kitty were up on it's a small platform, just two steps up. And they videotaped it, and they have these very inconspicuous mics that clip onto their clothes so they don't have to feel with a lot of cameras around them. The camera is way back in the back of the room, so that it's much nicer, except there's some bright lights, but they're kind of in the side. So they gave a panel where they each gave a little short 15-minute talk, and then they received questions from the audience. And then at the end of the Sahavas, they have a closing panel in the morning, and that's about the same thing. And Kitty, when she gave her prepared speech, she read about the difference between consciousness and awareness. And it was excellent. And then afterwards they asked her questions, and she told some stories. She got on a roll, and everybody was just delighted. And then she told about the incident where she threw the orange at Baba's feet. I can't remember the story. Maybe John can remember it.
I don't remember the story well either. I don't think she threw it at Baba's feet. I think it ended up at Baba's feet.
She threw an orange and it landed at Baba's feet. Yeah.
She was so mad.
Baba had criticized
because
her.
Because I think on account of something to do with the kitchen and saying that she couldn't.
Oh, that's right. It was the story of the toast. Everyone was supposed to have only bread, and little by little people got toast. And Baba said, "You think more of pleasing them than pleasing me." So Bal gave a talk each day, either in the morning or in the evening, and then he gave personal interviews. And during his talks, he stood up there, just full of energy. And he went on and on like he would never run out of energy, and very bright and alert. And so the audience had to listen closely to catch his words, and you either fell asleep or you woke up more. And we found that I noticed that in listening to Bal, he projected Baba's presence so much in a way that I would compare that when I was with Baba, you felt more like you were waking up. And I felt that this was happening when Bal was speaking. It was a very wakeful thing. So he fed our minds as well as our souls, and we felt Baba's presence through him in his talks. And preceding each of his talks, John Connor sang a ghazal. And then someone else would read a ghazal, and maybe one or two people would read a ghazal before each talk, and then after his talk, someone would either sing another ghazal or read a ghazal. Like Jeff Milet sang one, and David Mayalki, and this little boy, he's Jalbaram Hastings. During the children's show, he read a ghazal. So then at the end of the Sahavas, at the last talk, he read out a ghazal. And he reads it so beautifully, so charming. So many of them had a chance to enjoy the ghazals. In addition to that, the Sahavas committee printed up many pages of Baal's guzzles that could be bought at the bookstore. They were specially prepared for the Sahavas. And they, many of those guzzles were the ones that were read. And they were pertaining to Sahavas. So we could follow those if we wished. Now, Phyllis also gave talks. She gave one on Baba's kiss and a kick. And, of course, that's pretty obvious. When he gives you a kiss, sometimes you watch out for the kick. And you go through both. And then they had workshops. See, they had, after breakfast, they had morning talks by one of the guest speakers. Either two talks, one guest speaker and then another guest speaker. Then lunch. And after lunch, they had workshops, two workshops simultaneously, and for about an hour or so. And then there was a span in between for rest, swimming, or going to the bookstore. And then in the late afternoon, they would give two more simultaneous workshops. Then dinner, and then another talk. And then after the talk, they would have entertainment. And each evening, there was a different kind of entertainment. The first evening was welcome songs. Welcome to the Sahavas, welcome to Baal and Kitty and Phyllis, all the guests. And that was very, very beautiful. Then the second evening, it was the gospel, was it?
Yeah, the gospel.
Gospel singing. Mm-hmm. What were their names?
The companions.
Companions led it.
Yeah.
Oh, Debbie and Michael.
Debbie and Michael. And she's expecting now.
Oh, really?
Yes. In December. So they gave this very rousing, spirited gospel singing. It's just really, everybody just loves to get with it and clap and make a lot of loud singing. Then the next evening was a comedy talent show, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
They had four people who were very talented actors. One of them's, two of them are professional actors, did what they call a God Squad, right?
Well, their troupe was entitled the God Squad.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how to describe what it was they did.
I don't know how you could describe it either.
I couldn't.
But it was videotaped. It was videotaped, and they'll be bringing copies here.
So it was so clever. The music and the way they moved their bodies in the very fast movements. You know, this way over here, this way over there. And it was just highly entertaining. Can you describe it at all?
The way you were, your actions of your hands made me think of a break dance.
It was. It was like a break dance, but it was more gentle. It was geometrical in the way they moved across the stage and then would turn like boxes and then turn. And it was extremely interesting and full of life and vitality. It very well timed, very well planned.
There were four different plays, though, that they put on. There were little skits, four different skits. And there was a lot of movement in each one. But they weren't essentially dances. They were skits, you know, little plays.
They
talked? Yeah, they talked. It was talking.
Talking and singing.
Singing. They were all very humorous, too. Very humorous and very, very filled with thought.
I thought the entertainment was the best this year than I've ever seen. It was more professional, and the liveliness and the spiritedness was really very wonderful. They also had a program of for the, you see, the Meher miniatures are a separate program parallel to the Sahavas, which the adults attend. And the Meher miniatures are from age 10 through 16. And they're free to attend the Sahavas as well, or just go to the special programs that run time-wise simultaneous with the other programs. And during their times together, they have discussions among themselves about Baba and their life with Baba, and they do artwork. They had a great big piece of paper across the wall filled with pictures and nice sayings, beautiful. And they also prepare a skit to present on the Children's Talent Day, which they did beautifully. Jeff McGuire composed that skit. And then they have a special time when they, in the morning, when they, it's called a forum, and they're all on stage. Those who wish to participate, they're not. It's not mandatory, and they sit up there and they present something. They answer three or four questions that they've already thought of, like, oh, what is Baba's life? What is? What would, were some of those? Do you remember some of those questions?
So who asks?
No, first of all, they themselves ask, prepare the question, and then they choose which question they wish to answer. How has Baba helped me in my life? Or when did I first come to Baba? Or something like that. And so they each took turns giving their answer to one of those questions about Baba in their life. And when they start, they have a way of being so open, and they're embarrassed, of course, but they're just so straightforward that the freshness of their truth comes out, and it just touches everyone's heart. They're very frank about what they say, and sometimes it's very funny, too. And then they said that they wanted to share their love for Baba, and that they wanted to share it with the adults, and after their time was up, would the adults come and could they all embrace each other? And so those adults who wished to, not all of them, but those who wished to, came up on the platform, and they, the Meher miniatures and the adults and the kids, and back and forth, gave Baba embraces, and there was such an overflow of Baba's love that there was hardly a dry eye among all those who were there. It was very touching, a really Baba flow. For that short time, the walls of separation that people put up between each other came down.
The children are coming so much more and more in the foreground now.
Yes.
It is automatic that they are the children of this tidal wave of Baba lovers that's rising and have begun to rise since 1969, more than ever. And sometimes now we hear so much about children, Baba children, and their stories, stories about them, and how they remind the parents of Baba, or their revelations in themselves. And now at Altar's abode, for instance, this last service, they said, we were tripping over children, there are so many children. You read about Myrtle Beach, oh, they now have a playground, there are so many children. And everywhere we see pictures of Baba groups or gatherings, so many children. Now, this is it's a force of Baba's love. And sometimes I try and imagine what it will be like when they all grow together, when they're all in an age, when they're men and women in their own rights and ways. What a force that will be, what a force. As an instrument of Baba's love, more than anything that we see now. It's really amazing, that'll be. So it always touches me very much when children, and now when the children come here, we see them more often, we pray with them, and sometimes they're so they are themselves as reminders of Baba. And sometimes they're also so delightful. I love children, as you. I love other people's children, by the way. I mean, I know at the end of the day they will leave and they will be quiet again. There'll be peace in the house, you see. So one afternoon I was having a grand time with these Baba children. We were making paper boats and putting them in the duck pond there. Originally it was a duck pond. And there were two Indian Baba children among us, and that's from Delhi. And the sister had a voice like a sergeant major, you know, and the little brother was very meek and mild, but he always wanted to put his oar in also now and then. And the sister would shout at him. So we were having great fun with the paper boats. Suddenly, I feel a hand tapping me on the back. And I turn around, and there's Jal Bairam Hastings, you know, with a serious, cute little face, yes, and he says, will you please make less noise? And I just felt like, you know, I felt like a 2-year-old, and I said, oh, yeah, yes, of course.
Because you see, I'm trying to sleep. I'm trying to rest. Oh, I said, I'm sorry, but where are you resting? In the blue caravan. And I am, you see, I am sensitive to sound, noise. I said, oh, I'm very sorry. And then I thought, hey, wait a minute, this is ridiculous. What am I doing? So I said, but you see, we're playing boats. Oh, very serious. Oh, you know what? You know what? My uncle had a boat. I said, good, come and see this. So in the end, I got him all interested and doing the boat. But it is such a... I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's in the right place and the right path to do it.
It's true, as they make an effort to have the children interact with the adults, and the children themselves feel that it's very important to have their place in the adult world. And they also, the small children do a little play with songs and, you know, just a simple little play and singing.
How small?
Oh, from anywhere from 2 up to 10.
Yeah.
And there's always one little bright youngster that stands in front of the mic and says, Meher Baba, and just hams it up and just charms everyone. And then we... Sherry and I did a workshop on, they had different titles of different workshops. We did one, we finally decided what it would be about 10 minutes before we gave it, Resolving Conflicts Through Baba. And Sherry had some interesting things to say, and then all those who were in the workshop participated and contributed what they thought would be good ways of leading your life so that conflicts could be resolved according to what Baba would want us to do. There were workshops on guzzles. They were very interesting. And they also had the drawing for the sweepstakes. Who got it?
Anthony Leiter's his name. He's a lawyer in Los Angeles.
Lawyer in Los Angeles.
The ones who get a speech, you get to come to
Yes. His name is Anthony Leiter. He never comes to any Baba meetings. I'm not even sure if he's a Baba or if he won. If he doesn't want to give up his ticket and have it be second prize next year, he's got to get here within 365 days.
Okay.
It's interesting that the people who win usually haven't been in any way connected with the Los Angeles group, and so often they aren't even Baba lovers. When they just get the whim to enter, and all of a sudden Baba brings them in.
Isn't John
Lightus? No. Mm-hmm.
Another thing we did on the first day, it kind of helped people get together and feel comfortable with each other. When we gathered in the meeting hall, by the way, there were 300 of us. It was a packed crowd. There was a center aisle, and Jeff McGuire and my companion led us in a game of Baba Trivial Pursuit.
Oh, yes.
A game of?
Trivial Pursuit. But it was all Baba questions. And he divided the audience in half, and one team played against the other in being able to answer the questions. And when your team answered the question correctly, you started out with a gas state. You worked your way up to God realization.
And did anybody get God realized?
Well, the game doesn't end until one team does. But the fourth plane is the tricky one. And you can pass and not answer the question on that when you come to that. But if you answer the question or the bonus question incorrectly, you go all the way down.
All the way to stone.
Down to stone. And one of the teams did exactly that.
It was our team. We were the Rahuri Madmen. We were the Rahuri Madmen, and Bill LePage was our team captain. And the question that we flubbed was, who was the principal driver on the blue bus tours, and there were two answers. You could either say it was Elizabeth or Erich. And most people said it was Elizabeth, but a few people convinced Bill that it was Erich. And the correct answer was that it was Elizabeth, and since the answer that was given was Erich, we went down to stone. And we had been way ahead of the other team.
Oh,
that's the way it happens.
That's the way it happens.
Then we, on the last evening, Baal gave his final, was it his final talk?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He gave his final talk that evening after dinner on Baba's manifestation. And after that, we had the Parvardhagar film. And from the closing of the film, we were all, as usual, to keep silent from that moment till we walk across the campground to the duni. So we all have our flashlights, and it's at night, and we walk across. And someone asked Phyllis if she had seen Baba, and she usually does. And she said that she saw 300 Babas walking across the campground. Phyllis. We came up the little walk, the walkway out in the woods where the duni fire is prepared, and they have a big tarp, and people sit out around it at night. It's a beautiful still night with the trees all around us, and they have chairs for the guest speakers, and there's a little aisle, and we queue up. First the children and those who have to leave take their turn walking down, while others, the singers, sing Baba songs. And they bow down where Baba's sandals are there in front of the duni. And they toss in their stick and then back, and then each takes their turn. And it takes the rest of the evening. And that's the highlight of the whole Sahava, of course.
It must be very difficult for those who throw a stick in this to choose what to throw in.
It is. Many people ask questions about that. In fact, they'd ask Baal, and he said people come to him with these big things like surrender and so on. And he said for him, he thought it was best if you just toss in a banana. not a literal banana, but something you could handle.
Something simple.
Mandli, if we've ever attended the duni, we never have. We have never attended a single duni with Baba or afterwards. They look very surprised. They said, but look, where's some of the sticks Baba threw into the duni? So, what's the question?
Well, then some people have a lot of questions after about how much you work with it afterwards in your life, and that's the answer. And one year, Sherry said, well, the stick burned, didn't it?
Yes, Josh Steele is going to tell something about dropping something in the duni. What was your stick done?
It was horrible. No, it was a slippery banana. My sensitivity to criticism.
And you threw that in.
I threw it in.
And of course it disappeared, right?
Oh, God, and all hell broke loose.
You got criticized right and left.
Oh, yeah. It came like a tidal wave as soon as I got back home, from all directions.
Every direction. Because it was really busy cleaning it up, you see.
Yeah. Baba gave me the stick. He explained the principles to me. So, you know, he was right there. So I got the full avatar plunge.
How long does it last?
Oh, it goes on.
Useless way.
But any sign of diminishing, Don?
Well, not the criticism.
No. How about your sensitivity to the criticism?
I seem to be developing gradually in an armadillo skin.
Let's just, while you were telling us about this Savas, silent Savas in LA. One thing I couldn't quite understand, you said something about a video that the people in the back could see. You mean the videos closer by to the rest
of
the
audience? No, in the back of the room they had a little section off to take the video.
Oh, to take video. I see.
So that it didn't interfere with anyone's
seeing, having to look over the cameras or around the cameras.
Acha.
And it also made it inconspicuous because people were more forward in front of the video camera.
I thought because not everybody could see because there were 300 people.
They could see pretty much. It was very hot, unusually hot there. Mm-hmm. We all had our fans and tried to sit near a door.
Because when Pune Baba gave darshan in Guru Prasad, and thousands of his lovers gathered under the Shamiana, and because they were from all over India, and I think it was even at the East was gathering. But the Pune Baba lovers were told to give room to the others, you know, sacrifice their position, well, closer to Baba, and go and seat themselves right in the back row. So way at the back, that this was all these other places in India, way at the back was poor Pune. So Baba used to stand up now and then, and he would just raise his whole arm like that, in a sort of in grace, blessing, greeting, you know, his remembrance, his love. And it was amazing because I, who was closer, watching from behind the scenes as usual, actually from the bathroom window of the Guru Prasad Palace, so I could see his side. When he did that, it was like an ocean wave. It was so oceanic. Even at that time, I felt it. And you still see some of that, even in a picture that was taken at the time. You know, but the funny part that I wanted to mention was that the ones from Pune way back, some of them had binoculars, you know, like little opera glasses, so they could see Baba properly way from behind. And I thought that was so cute.
Actually, Mani, at our sahavas, Charlie Morton also had some video cameras, and he set up a video monitor underneath the hall where the talks were, so that people who wanted to be out of the hall, or if it was too crowded, they could be underneath sitting on these benches or at these tables and look at this television screen and see what was going on and hear it too.
I see.
So that actually did happen.
So that's when it's closed. I mean, that would have helped a lot in Pune.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think then Baba wouldn't have stood up. He wouldn't have reached. He reached beyond the thousands. Beyond. And that always makes me think of the little grace. You know, you say grace at meals. It's such a lovely habit, such a lovely tradition, such a lovely way. And one of the ones I like best is, Lord, pour thy grace in measure small, lest it more than cover all. And Baba's always giving more and covering more than what we have. And yet we ask for more, but already what he's giving is covering more than what we hold out. Much more that we can hold in, fill,